Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. It's time now for Dorothy's List, our monthly book club for kids based on books nominated for the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Children's Book Award. This month, we go to the West Rutland School, where sixth graders have been reading a difficult book, Golden Boy by Tara Sullivan. Golden Boy tells the story of an albino Tanzanian boy named Habo. Habo is forced to flee across his country when a poacher tries to hunt him down. VPR's Amy Noyes spent time with the students and the author for our series, Dorothy's List.
Golden Boy is a book that's hard to categorize. It reads like historical fiction, but the real-life circumstances are both modern-day and horrifying. The novel takes on the subject of ivory poaching, and even more shocking for these sixth graders in West Rutland, a human parallel— the murder of albino people whose body parts are thought to bring good luck.
So wait, there were people that actually killed innocent kids or adults that were albino?
Yes.
Because they thought their limbs were lucky.
It's a tough concept for some young readers to grasp. But West Rutland School librarian Dawn Sharon thinks these students are ready to take on advanced themes.
I think what I've noticed with a lot of you is that all of a sudden you guys are old enough to start thinking about topics that affect your world. And this is the first book that a lot of you have got to read that really have some very important issues that are happening, you know, not necessarily in your town, but definitely in your world that affect people and animals and things that you might care about.
The students were ready to engage with the book, and we recorded the questions they had for author Tara Sullivan. Sixth grader Caitlin Shug wanted to know if Sullivan set out to write a book with that level of intensity.
To me, in this book, it felt very intense, and I was wondering if you meant it to feel that way or you worried about it being, like, so scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
That's Golden Boy author Tara Sullivan.
I think it is a scary reality, and I did want to share that honestly to the best of my ability. When I went to Tanzania, one of the things that was most meaningful is that I was able to meet up with the staff of Under the Same Sun, which is one of the organizations working in the field. They mainly do informational advocacy, you know, sharing about, hey, albinism is a genetic condition. It takes both the mother and the father to contribute to albinism. It is not a curse. They are not ghosts. They're not demons. They don't melt in the sun. If you put your baby out in the sun with albinism, they won't tan. They will just get sick.
Sullivan says Under the Same Sun helped with her understanding of Tanzanian people who are albino.
When I met with them, I really got a sense of, the tragedy that it is to live that way, to be told horrible things about why you are the way you are and why you look the way you do, and to be told, hey, you're not a real person. Hey, you're nothing. You're actually a zero, zero. You're less than nothing. You're nothing, nothing. And how that affects people. And I wanted to be able to tell that story as honestly as I could while showing that, you know, everyone can be something. So I would say hold out there. I know it's a tough read at the beginning, maybe, because it's a very difficult subject. But I promise, I'm a sucker for happy endings. Things get better. I will not leave Habo in the lurch in a way that makes you feel upset. I hope that by the time you hit the end of the book, you'll be feeling a bit better.
In Golden Boy, Habo and his family are forced to leave their village home to start a new life in the city. Here's author Tara Sullivan reading a passage from Habo's point of view at the beginning of their journey.
I've never been to Arusha before. The farthest I've been from home is our village school and the places I wander when I'm grazing the goats. I know where I'm supposed to stay, in our house, in the shadows of the wall, in the shade of the trees, out of the sun, and out of sight. The scorched path of gray dust leading from our little village into Arusha is not my place. I learned this the day I tried to follow Asu as she left for secondary school in the city. I made it as far as the front yard when Mother grabbed me by the arm and hauled me inside. Don't even think about it, Habo, she had said. Don't you dare think about shaming us in the city, too. I had stared up at her then, unable to say anything, terrified by the intensity in her voice. Mother and I have always been like the two posts of a doorframe, unable to move closer or farther away, and the emptiness that sits between us is the shape of my missing father. He left right after I was born, when the whispers started that Razia gave birth to a white son, not a good brown child like the three born before him, but white.
Sixth grader Ella Paquin asked about Habo's relationship with his older sister, Asu.
How did you decide that Asu would be the one to care for and love Habo?
When I was doing my research, and finding out more about the families of children with albinism, it was hard. It was very heartbreaking. A lot of fathers leave their families because they can't imagine that they could produce a white child. So they assume their, you know, wife was cheating on them. And so there's a lot of abandonment. And so I was getting this sense through my research of a very harsh environment, a very hostile world where sometimes not even your parents would be in your corner if you were born with albinism. And yet finding that there were always, you know, hopefully always, but frequently mothers or sisters or older siblings who would really go to bat for kids with albinism, who would really try to take care of them and step up to the plate. And Asu was easy for me to write because I have a much younger brother. He's 10 years younger than me. And so it was a character that I could connect with and put myself into and go from there. So that's kind of why I decided that Asu would be the one to love Habo.
Sixth grader Elizabeth Bailey asked about the violence portrayed in the book during Habo's journey across Tanzania.
How do you think the violence contributed to the plot of the story?
I think that's a great question, Elizabeth. And I think one of the things that I struggled with while I was writing this was how to portray the violence, because I don't like books that are just violence, violence, violence all over the place with no real purpose to it. But at the same time, I was trying to tell a story about a really horrific thing where people are attacking other people and hacking them to pieces and maiming them and injuring them and murdering them. And to try and find a way to tell that story with the right amount of violence was something that I definitely struggled with, something that I thought about a lot. And so what you might notice is that the violence that I describe is rarely aimed at characters. So there's a scene with an elephant where Habo and his brother come across a poacher who is poaching ivory. And I included the graphic violence in that scene as a way to sort of just put the idea of the violence, the kind of violence I was talking about, into readers' heads. But that kind of violence is never delivered onto people in the book.
West Rutland sixth grader Mason Galante was curious about the names Tara Sullivan chose for her characters.
What language are the names in?
That is such a good question. So the names are in Swahili, and they actually mean things in Swahili. So Habo is short for Dahahabo, which is the Swahili word for gold, which is where he gets his nickname, Golden Boy, from his sister Asu. Asubuhi is short for morning. Kito, his little cousin, means jewel in Swahili. And Kweli, one of my favorite characters from the second half of the book, his name means truth.
Sixth grader Madison Gway has a question about the research the author conducted when writing Golden Boy.
What did you find most surprising about the information when you, like, took information about this book?
I wrote the first draft of the book completely based off of research that I could do from my own home, right? And then once I had a first draft of the book written, I took kind of a leap of faith. I booked a ticket to Tanzania and I traveled the path of the book. So I wanted to make sure that the story that I was putting out there was as accurate as I could possibly make it, was as true to life and honest as I could possibly make it. And so that little map that you see at the beginning of the book where it traces Habo's journey, I actually followed Habo's journey, went to every setting in Tanzania and added in things that you could only find out when you're there, like, you know, the color of the dust and the types of trees that they had in a particular region and the taste of the food and all the rest of that. And I think some of the most surprising stuff was just finding out how much the internet got wrong and figuring out how to deal with it. So the book originally ended in Dodoma, which Google helpfully told me was the capital of Tanzania. Well, it turns out Dodoma was just the hometown of someone with a lot of power. And so they plopped parliament in this teeny tiny town. And there's nothing in Dodoma other than the parliament building and like one spare donkey. Like there's really no city in Dodoma to end a story in. And so at the last minute, here I am in Tanzania. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to get somewhere where I can end this story. I ended up booking a last minute ticket to Dar es Salaam, which is a huge international city and the capital in all but name. And it was there as I was puddling around, you know, I found a carver's market that ends up being a major part of the ending of the book that I didn't know existed until I started walking around Dar es Salaam. So, yeah, the research was definitely a layered thing, a multifaceted thing that I did one thing at a time. And there were some really big surprises.
Once Habo makes it to Dar es Salaam, he meets a blind artist who makes wood carvings to sell at a market. With that part of the story in mind, the West Rutland students' serious discussion took on a lighter note as they tried their hand at sculpting animals from dough while blindfolded. Haley Parker made a turtle with no small amount of feedback from her sighted friends.
Haley, it's just a circle.
Haley, I have to tell you something really bad. I don't think turtles are circles.
I hate to burst your bubble. It's Humpty Dumpty. Oh, it's sweet.
It looks like a turtle. Oh, his head fell off.
Is it a cookie with legs?
Having fun while learning to read difficult material is a hard feat to pull off. Golden Boy introduced some grave cruelties to these West Rutland sixth graders, but both the book and their serious discussion ended on happier notes. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.
And the book again is Golden Boy by Tara Sullivan.